Jake, we had to win that game to even justify buying. And I know that some folks are saying we should buy and sell, right? Michael Kay has actually had that take. We win 7-5 today. And I'll tell you what, if this was an L, you'd have a hard time even really hanging on to Devin Williams, hanging on to some of these rentals, Trent Grisham, Paul Goldschmidt. I know there were some other rumors that we were just talking about, Jake, but we'll dive into that later in the show. But anyways, Anthony Volpe hit a homer, probably the furthest home run of his career, if we're being honest. I've never seen him hit a ball 450. No. And technically, I mean, it was a beautiful pitch to extend the count, and he made him pay. The defense from Volpe today was very bad. He had two errors, and obviously, as you can imagine, if you didn't watch the game, Volpe's arm was a problem. It's a pool noodle, if you will. And we're not going to harp on him until maybe a little bit later in the show, but there were some good and bad, right? He was the hero and the villain. Cody Bellinger hit his 20th home run, and Jake and I actually were just talking about how expensive this player is about to be. How much money are the Yankees going to have to pay? There was also rumors that the Yankees potentially were shopping him, and we think Jake and I both agree that rumor is ridiculous. He is your, and I get it, technically this is a rental, if you will. We made the trade, Cody Poteet to Chicago, and he's got a player option. Well, if you play this type of baseball, it's a one-year deal. He's going to be a free agent this offseason. So, yeah, technically in a rental position, but when you trade Cody Bellinger, if that ever were to happen, it's sort of eroding the relationship that you had. It feels a lot like they're trying to do the Aroldis Chapman, Gleyber Torres thing. Too much of a risk. I don't want to see it. Just extend Cody Bellinger. I think it's that simple. And Max Fried, if you looked at the score, you'd think he wasn't that good, but it was 6 2/3, two earned runs, and that's the key, two earned, four runs, two of which were unearned, two walks, and 9 Ks. And then, of course, Jake, the last thing I'll mention was the Duran, Minnesota's Duran, of course, their closer, the hug news, which ended up being a lot of nothing. And I was scrambling around texting reporters left and right. And it turned out it was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. But Jeff Passan, I believe, reported that the Yankees are expected to acquire a big arm. So that in itself means literally the Yankees will be buyers. So that is the good news here, Jake.
That is the good news. That is our prompt. Yankees expected to get big bullpen name before deadline. Okay. Who is that name? We'll figure it out. Maybe we won't. Maybe we will. I mean, I think we all know it's not going to be Clase after everything. He has had a rough week there. He even got taken out of our thumbnail because we're just like, well, that's kind of pointless at this point. But no, all jokes aside, today was huge. It really was for the Yankees. And I feel like a broken record saying this. We've talked about Yankees need to win this game. Yankees need to win every game. Like, the Yankees should just win the rest of the year, to be honest with you. But we know that's not going to be happening. However, how important was today's game? If you didn't follow around the league, Toronto is actually only 4 games up on the Yankees, which sounds insane. I mean, we're talking about people wanting to sell. Hear me out. Toronto has the best record of baseball, and the Yankees are only 4 out of first place. Okay, so it is a reminder that, and I want to preface with saying this, I understand it. We go live every single night. We talk to you guys every single night. We're closer to the action than the people who just kind of go week by week. And you know something, Gary? A lot of people, when they're watching the NHL, they're watching the NBA, they're watching the MLB, they go week to week. And why? Because there's a lot of games. People have wacky schedules. I have to get up at 4 a.m. I don't have time to sit there and watch a full Yankee game. I can watch until the sixth inning. I got to go to bed. That's the way it is, right? But if you are with us every single night, right? Every single night, it's easy for us to sometimes get too close to the action. And I think that's, you know, it's a good thing, but it can also be a little bit of a curse as well. And it can cause you to feel a little bit more wishy-washy and, you know, react a little bit more suddenly because, you know, it feels rough. I mean, when you watch every single game and you put so much effort into your fandom and, I mean, you're essentially reserving 7 to 10:30 every single night for the Yankees, well, pretty much your mentality, your mental state is being, it's in the balance when it comes to the Yankees. A lot of people are having a hard time. They come home from work, they want a de-stressor. Nope. The Yankees are adding more stress to the table. So I think it's important to remember the Yankees are 10 up at home. They're 32-22. They're 58 and 49. They just gained a game on Toronto. Toronto got swept today by the Orioles. Thank you, O's, for doing that. Then they sent him Sir Anthony Dominguez, which we finally got one of those, you know, clubhouse to clubhouse trades. Very interesting. He pitched the first game for the Orioles, and then the second game of the doubleheader he pitches for, Toronto. That's kind of cool. But point being, guys, you can get, you know, a little bit overzealous on both sides of the spectrum. You can get way too excited about a win. You can get way too down on a loss. But at the end of the day, the Yankees, they needed to win today. They took care of it. There were a lot of really good things from this game. There were some bad, mainly Anthony Volpe's arm. But I think this was a big, important game because you have to overcome, you know, the fact, look, first off, Brian Cashman didn't make a move. Unless, Gary, did you see anything? Because I didn't see Brian Cashman go out and get a high leverage reliever yet. So,
no, nothing has happened. So technically speaking, either tonight late. And by the way, guys, if there's a trade, especially late at night, just know you're going to be able to look at your YouTube and Yankees Unloaded is hopping out of bed and we're going to be podcasting. And we hope that happens. Now, obviously, it's maybe preferred if they drop the trade. Now we can talk to you guys here. But you just know, based on this news, either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday midday, you guys are going to see a big-time arm, whether it's Duran, whether it's Bednar. And obviously, the Bednar deal is more so of a package deal. There's maybe an IKF involved. Obviously, Hayes is not going to be, considering what we just did at third base. So the Yankees right now, you have to sort of look at it and say, is this Yankees team really great? The answer is no. This is not a great Yankees team. This isn't even probably a top five Yankees team of the last decade. But I'm going to say this about this team. The American League is horrible. You just mentioned who has the best record. Best record is that Toronto Blue Jays team, which we played, very well coached. They're not going to make mental mistakes. They've lost four games in a row. That Blue Jays team is beatable. The Dodgers are beatable across the way. The Padres, all of them have gone ice cold. There's not a single team, the Detroit Tigers, ice cold, can't win a game. They're also looking at Bednar. So if you have the perspective, and this is totally understandable, of trying to look at the Yankees in a vacuum and saying, this is not a great team, therefore we can't win the World Series or we have just no opportunity to be competitive. Well, I say, which team is it across baseball that you're genuinely afraid of? Which is Toronto terrify you? Does Boston terrify you? Do you feel like these teams are unbeatable in a postseason series? I feel like if there were great teams out there and the Yankees were trying to figure out how to get up to that level, I would agree with a lot of folks about strictly selling. But you have to also look at your team. You need to look at the landscape. This landscape is pathetic. This is one of the softest. And you've also mentioned the strength of schedule for the Yankees is one of the easiest in baseball, if not the Yankees have to take advantage of that. And so obviously I did see it up in the chat. The Yankees gained a game and a half today. Toronto being a team that's not great, you can catch them. It's possible. And we were just asking that question about 2 days ago. Is it possible to catch them? And it's difficult to do it when you see 5.5, 6 game lead. But you got to remember, Toronto is still Toronto, just a good team.
It was 6.5 3 days ago. It's just a reminder, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. The MLB season especially, we're not even in August yet. We're not even in August. There's 2 full months after July. Like, we still get a full September and everything. So that's a big deal. But, Gary, I think the big thing, you know, for me is when you look at this team today, okay, Aaron Boone managed the hell out of it. I thought he did a fantastic job.
What'd you like about it?
What I liked is the lineup I thought was pretty good, right? Okay. So I liked the lineup. I would have had Dominguez higher in the order, but that's just me. The lineup was good. Stanton not being in it was a little confusing to me, but, you know, I liked Rice being in there.
Well, pregame, Aaron Boone did weigh in on that, and he said that today was just his day. It was a part of the schedule. And that's actually part of what people obviously don't like. They don't like that there's a schedule. You'd like to show up to the yard.
I get it with Stanton, though. I do.
I understand it, but maybe at DH, not sure.
That was the one thing, though. So if you're saying he already alluded to that, like, that was the one thing that I had an issue with. Aside from that, the run game usage today, okay? Thought, you know, they played more small ball than they normally do. Volpe stealing third leads to a run, right? Then you look at Jason Dominguez stealing second. Then Jason Dominguez playing what I'm going to call Toronto Blue Jays baseball, where the ball is hitting the left field, okay? The guy has a decent arm. And Jason Dominguez, yeah, he overslid third base after not oversliding and sliding feet first. Bonus points for him, Gary, in the second. But he gets to third base, and now the next hit, you know, he's able to come through. And that's a big deal to me. So, you know, I think we're starting to, well, we're not starting to, but we need to start to see this because I think it is a reminder that it's there. You know, what is the point of having athleticism on the base paths? What is the point of having all these guys when you don't have Stanton in the lineup? Literally every one of these guys in the lineup today can move. I'm not saying that Goldschmidt is Usain Bolt, okay? But if Goldschmidt's the slowest guy or Grisham's the slowest guy in this lineup today, that's pretty damn good. So when you have these guys that can steal bases, that can put pressure, why don't you utilize it? They did today. And so I want to give Boone a lot of credit for that. I want to give Boone a lot of credit for Max Fried's usage today. Max Fried, you know, he comes out. He's going to take him out. Max Fried says, look, I'm not done. Like, I want to go. And then he gives up the hit. And that just, it is what it is. He puts in
which
La
tells
Weisiga.
The story, by the way. If Max Fried stayed in that game, to your point, mm-hmm. it means that Aaron Boone, at the very least, is introducing. Right, a lot of people think he's not making decisions. Exactly. Well, when you walk out to the mound, if a Graf says to pull him, he's pulled. There's no conversation to be had. So the fact that there was a conversation, that was a fluid situation, even if it didn't work, it's the premise. You're letting the humans figure out the game.
Exactly.
And hopefully that pans out for us long term.
And I got to give him a lot of credit because I'm not going to – well, I already was, but I'm going to give him more credit. How he didn't get thrown, I would have gotten thrown out. The first inning, when the umpire starts, he just wouldn't stop yelling over. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like,
you know, man, what I'll say?
Know, just be
Can
the
I
umpire.
Say something? This is the thing about Aaron Boone. I don't think the Yankees right now are in a spot in the season where they can deal with a message being sent by their manager. Because mm-hmm. that's what the whole beginning half is supposed to be about. If you're going to send a message and try to light a fire underneath players and say, well, the players aren't working very hard or they're not, we need to get some, we need to rejuvenate this group. Then an ejection's in order, right? The old Bobby Cox special. But if you're going to go out there and your team is 4 games back, and at the time you were 4.5 games back, you can't get ejected and risk maybe a mistake being made late in this game, maybe a how LaWisega is being used. Maybe they try to extend him. You never know who was used where if Boone's not in that dugout.
Well,
and I just think right now, that's part of the good job that he did was finding a way not to be ejected. Because I understand the premise. When an umpire is dictating the game in your opinion, you want to be heard. You want an explanation. That's completely justifiable. But when we're talking about the Yankees, this Yankees team is not good enough to not have their manager sitting in the dugout.
Completely agree.
And at this point, could you have a gripe if we were up 6 to 7 games and you're pissed off? 100%. But if we drop this game, you're probably talking about, I mean, how does the momentum look at 4.5? It doesn't look quite as good. And you start flexing it to 5.5, 6.5 again. Maybe one game is all you need. Because right now, I was sort of projecting where the Yankees seem to be falling in this whole trade deadline is that 88, 89, 90 wins, there's not going to be a runaway. There's no runaway team in this division. Toronto's probably going to win 90 games. We're likely to win 88 to 91 wins. So you need to look at that and be honest with yourself. Can I afford to be thrown out of any one of these games? Of the 55 remaining, probably not.
And that was Boone stepping out of his comfort zone, because normally his comfort zone is I'm going to snap back. And I actually like that about him, but that was really, really smart, I thought. And I mean, you know, the umpire is wrong when David Cohn, who always has a lot of respect for the umpires, will always be like, yeah, you know, but you got to know when to. No, he today was like, as an umpire, you got to be cold. You can't be hot. You can't come out of the game just started. You can't be, you know, he wanted to toss somebody. And that's the thing. You know, he was terrible today. He was absolute dog shit. You know, he screwed Max Fried on a bunch of calls. And who knows how long Fried goes if he doesn't get screwed on those calls. But the thing I can't stand, and that's why I'm giving Boone credit, is that he immediately went out of his way. Okay, somebody said something in the dugout. Normally they can do that. And then, you know, they get a little bit of a glance, right? He's like, he says his piece. He says, all right, stop it. I want to hear it. And then he just keeps saying it. And there's nothing that drives me more insane when somebody's already made their point and they have to keep like rattling it off. It's like, all right, go. Like,
I would probably say, by the way,
like, I can't stand that.
I would probably say if you're going to eject somebody in late July or mm-hmm. you're going into August or September, ejections should be by committee. I actually don't think one single umpire should have the authority to impact a game. Now, mind you, the calls are one thing. This is the human element, yeah. And it's technically it's what they signed up for. It's their job right now, and they're doing their best. He's not screwing calls because he doesn't like Max Fried. He doesn't care about Max Fried. He doesn't mm-hmm. care about me. He doesn't care about you. None of us. The reality is he's making a call. He's making a judgment, and then people hate the judgment. They don't like the judgment. They think it's incorrect, and obviously replay showed it was incorrect. But he doesn't get to see the replay back there. He lives in his own reality. So having said that, you have to deal with that. And by the way, the Yankees and the type of baseball they've played, ton of self-inflicted errors. They've lost themselves so many games this year that you kind of got to show up to the yard. The umpire's just got to be out of your mind. You need to make adjustments based on what the umpire is doing all day. If he's inconsistent, expect inconsistency. And you're going to have to find a way to make margins somewhere else. And I get it. When we're sitting here talking about May baseball, right, all that, baseball early on in the year completely makes sense to me. We'll talk about the umpires. But for me, the Yankees right now, they need to be solely focused on themselves. And right now, the Yankees are focused on the deadline. And according to Jeff Bisson, that's a big arm. Is that Duran? Jake, you predicted it was Duran. And we were saying earlier that, oh, we were on hug alert, all this stuff. Brian Cashman, at the very least, based on these reports, those big prospects, we're not talking about George Lombard Jr. Obviously, we're not talking about Spencer Jones. But when you are talking about these relievers, if Duran and Helsley and all these guys are, you know, at the disposal of the Yankees, they've got to win the bid. Well, in order to do that, you're talking about Ben Hess. You're talking about Cunningham. You're talking about real prospects in the Yankee system, whether they're highly touted or not. Pereira, potentially. J.C. Ascara, obviously, off of our big league roster. It's going to be interesting because it's just so difficult for me to believe that the Yankees are going to be going after a big-time arm because I just haven't seen them make a trade with a player with big-time control. Obviously, they did so with Jazz, but Jazz was more of a depreciating asset that by baseball was seen as an overrated player, if you guys all remember, voted most overrated player in baseball. Meanwhile, Duran, on the other hand, on the market, we're not the only team that wants Duran. Helsley, we're not the only. I saw it in the chat. We're not the only team that wants him. Bednar, we named you four teams, Detroit being one of them. So it's going to be interesting because Brian Cashman, more than likely, is not going to be able to trade the prospects he simply wants to. He's going to have to go out there and win a bid war.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you said it best, and Alex Reyes with the super burned into the OLED screens out there. Sorry, guys.
Appreciate you, Alex.
Jason is becoming a valuable player. He absolutely is. He's a very good player. You know, obviously, you'd love to see the power, eventually the profile come into its own. But, you know, in the meantime, he has really good bat-to-ball contact. And then you look at just his ability on the bases. And that's where, like, the athleticism is there. And I can understand why the Yankees don't want to just pull the plug on him in left field, because if he could theoretically figure it out, he's got the athleticism to be a very, very good defensive player and a lot of range. So
yeah, unfortunately, it's not the only that's the only thing that goes with playing outfield. There's reads. There's all types of stuff, which you already know. There's so many things that have nothing to do with athleticism.
His best chance is to play alongside guys like Grisham, alongside guys like Bellinger. If he ever had a shot playing next to Bellinger, I think Bellinger is going to be, if he ends up making in the outfield, Bellinger's a big reason. I do think there, you know, it does get overrated, and we've talked about this in our conversations off air about just other sports, right? We've talked about before how kind of that veteran leadership can get a little bit overrated. It is kind of like a buzz term or whatever. But I genuinely believe when you have a guy like Cody Bellinger, he carries himself like a leader. He carries himself, going back to what we were talking about, this is why you pay a guy like that. And I think it really bodes well for a young player like Jason Dominguez.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge, if Aaron Judge was our center fielder right now, how much does he help? Mind you, we looked at his numbers in center field. And a lot of people are like, Aaron Judge can play a great center field. No, he can't. No, he's not. He's not playing a good center field. He can play it, but is he at the quality of which we saw him in right field? No, that's his home position. That's a major reason why we wanted to move him. It was so attractive to move him back to right field. We did so, and you bring in a Cody Bellinger. Well, Cody Bellinger can play left and center field, regardless of what you need. So if you've got an Aaron Judge out of position, and then Jason Dominguez is manning the most difficult defensive spot that we have at Yankee Stadium, how would that help him? He's got to get out to the gap now. You can't rely on your center fielder to be laying out. That's Aaron Judge. But when it's Cody Bellinger out there, Trent Grisham perhaps, now you're talking.
Yeah, and Ninja Hot Dog, we appreciate you. Love the dog as always. DFA Volpe, I don't care about the home run. Goldie also can't catch. The home run did not win them the game. It just gave them an insurance run. So if you want to feel a little bit better about that. But the home run was cool. I want Volpe to work out. I do. I know it seems like I'm dunking on him. He's 2-for-4. He had a home run today. But right now, he leads all the majors in errors. Okay,
he didn't listen everybody. To a damn thing A-Rod said. Did you hear what A-Rod said? He was like, if he could just stop trying to be a 30 home run guy and he can kind of hone into the contact game, he would be so much better. And since then,
Volpe's like, oh, I got to hit 30 home runs in 50 games? Bet. And just hold my beer. Like,
he's got more home runs than singles since the break.
It's so crazy.
It's just, it's a total buy. And mind you, we're not going to sit up here and tell you guys he had a home run today. We would have rather it have been a single. It's more so the approach, and obviously more so the macro.
A-Rod is 100% right. I totally agreed with his point. Because you don't need your shortstop to hit a ton of home runs. You need your shortstop to get on base. You need your shortstop to walk, as you said the other day. You're like,
or first and foremost, we need our shortstop to not lead the league in errors. Hitting a home run today was awesome.
Yeah.
The first thing, the prerequisite, before you even step up to the plate, if you're going to be a shortstop of the Yankees, we already know we're walking into October baseball. So what does that mean? It means pressure. Well, when you get Max Fried up there, you get Rodon on the mound, you get Luis Gil on the mound, and they induce a game-winning double play ball or a double play ball to get you out of a jam, and you can't rely on your starting shortstop to just make simple right pitch and catch. Well, I'll tell you right now, that doesn't bode well for New York. Now, mind you, you can say all this while acknowledging Anthony Volpe hit a ball 452 feet today. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at the totality of what he's doing, he's a low contact, okay power, poor defensive shortstop. And that's got to improve. Doesn't help us in any way if he leaves, right? And maybe you say, oh, if you bring in a better player, yeah. But if he was really good, well, that jersey back there, that number 11 jersey, which is obviously my dad's jersey and my Uncle Dwight's, well, I can just pretend it's Volpe's jersey. It works for all of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't do us in the chat any good if Volpe is not playing as good as he can. How does it help us? Of course it doesn't. So we're all rooting for it. I think A-Rod absolutely has a point that a player, especially with his body style and his speed, you were mentioning his speed is somewhat showing up analytically now. You would like that part to be, playing a bigger role in his game. But right now, obviously, he's more of a power bat, and we're just going to have to accept it when it shows up.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, you see a player that's really worked on his chase rate, right? He's actually become very good at not just swinging outside the zone, expanding the zone. But it's been the issue. I mean, what was it, 0-for-30 on fastballs, or that four-seam fastballs, whatever it said? That's not wild. Great. That I know. That I don't even know what that even means. Like, how? But anyway, enough about Volpe.
I love this next super chat, by the way. So we'll read Brian's. Yeah, Brian says Volpe is an arsonist. So Brian, Steve-O, Dwight Gooden, that is my great uncle. And Guy, thank you for the five. Thank you for investing in Yankees Unloaded. And before I read this, make sure you guys subscribe to Yankees Unloaded. We have just eclipsed 8,500 subscribers. So for those of you who have been around for a while, you'd know we're growing very quickly. We're very happy about the group that we've built. We don't just want 8,500 or 10,000 subscribers. We want these type of subscribers that actually show up and allow us to provide context to what it is we're talking about. Everybody else is sort of looking for 10-minute video quick hitters. We are not that. So thank you guys for doing that. We are giving away a free Yankees jersey at 10K. Guy says, was Jones, and Jake, you text this to me this morning, was he in right field today? Was that a ploy? Will the Yankees blow an entire year pre-arbitration of Spencer if he gets 130 at-bats? Wells, Dominguez called up in September as well. Jake, your prediction was that Spencer Jones, and let's just to refresh some people's memory, you said he's going to show up in September. My prediction was he was going to be here actually much sooner. Now, I could be completely wrong, but I didn't know, obviously, what was going to happen after that. Aaron Judge is going to get hurt. He's likely to be our DH for the rest of the season. You're seeing Stanton flex out to the outfield. That's clearly not a long-term option. It's just not. Now you look at Spencer Jones and say, there's a viable path for him to be playing for the Yankees in 2025. Very shortly here. So yeah, it was interesting seeing him in right field. You also mentioned Pereira a little bit earlier today via text, Jake. What did you think about this Spencer Jones deal and him being out in right field?
I think it's his fourth time of his career. Drew Thorpe tweeted that out, so shout out to you. Yeah, I think it's like the fourth time in his career that he's played right field. There's a reason for it, okay? You don't just randomly, oh yeah, we're going to throw you out in right field tonight. Even though he plays center field all the time. There's a reason. Get him comfortable. I think he might get a call up after the trade deadline. I do think it kind of signals he's not going to be a part of any trade, because if you were theoretically going to showcase this player, because, you know, scouts are at, you know, these games and what have you during the trade deadline, you wouldn't have Spencer Jones in right. You'd have Spencer Jones in center.
Oh, can I ask you a question? So this is a genuine question, okay? I've really just thought about this. We don't think about this pre-show. We just start the episode.
Yeah.
When people say if he's called up right now, he might eclipse 130 at-bats, that's a problem. And it's a problem not for us, and we don't give a rat's behind. But yeah, obviously Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman do, because it's part of their job is budgeting. Now, from my perspective, if you're going to have 130 at-bats, if you call somebody up July 30th or July 29th today, well, I'll tell you what. You're going to get your 130 at-bats unless Aaron Judge has to DH. Spencer Jones is out in right field. Giancarlo Stanton's also in right field. Do you think that maybe we can see a platoon job the rest of the year where they almost manage his at-bats to be sure he doesn't get to 130, but it's just enough to give him that half-year, quarter-year of experience?
Well, I'm not worried about his 130 at-bats, because the Yankees can play this however they want. They could be like, you know what? Spencer Jones has capped himself out in AAA. Going up against just bad pitching, that's clearly not superior to AA, there's no point. And sending him down to AA would be the dumbest looking thing ever. So if you move him to the big leagues, you're just saying, yeah, he's good enough to be here. We feel like, yeah, if he were to get at-bats every day, maybe that helps, but maybe it doesn't. Just practicing, playing on easy mode all the time isn't going to make you any better at the game.
Well, also not calling him up for his development. Spencer Jones being called up here would be us calling him up because the 2025 Yankees need his services. I completely get it. You want to put your players in the ideal situation. I think that's obvious. The Yankees chose not to call him up while Judge is on the IL. That's clearly not the timing they wanted. He was also dealing with a back injury, right? Jack Curry mentioned this. So having said that, if you brought up Spencer Jones, if he's platooning, I would say this. If you're platooning in your first year in the big leagues, it maybe isn't the worst thing in the world. I know a lot of people said it's great just to get this starting role and you play every single day, but Anthony Volpe came here and played every single day, and his development didn't happen. So I don't want people to tie in at bats and consistency and all that stuff with what happens to Spencer Jones. Probably the best thing for him to do is hit against right-handed pitching at the big league level, and it still allows the Yankees to control him for another year while getting his services when we clearly need it.
Yeah, and by the way, I just wanted to add on to this, because I was very curious. I didn't think 130 sounded right. 130 signifies the threshold for a player to have rookie eligibility. So if you're trying to, you know, Spencer Jones, if he's the top 100 prospect in MLB pipeline, which I don't even think he is, doesn't really matter. You would get that compensatory pick if he wins Rookie of the Year next year. So there would be reason for it. I don't actually think it impacts arbitration at all. I think that's actually determined based on service time, which is how many days a player is on the roster.
Okay, so they don't let you manipulate at bats. They don't let you sit a player. We would legitimately have to send him down if he started to eclipse that number.
That's the thing. So I think it's how many days, you know, is for the service time. And I can look that up as well. But I just wanted to be sure because, you know, you said that and I was like, that sounds right. But there's something off about that. That was the rookie threshold. We were talking about that with Jason Dominguez, actually. We had the same conversation. Like, if Jason Dominguez wants to, you know, they think that he can win Rookie of the Year, which he's not going to. But if they think he can win Rookie of the Year, you know, and he's a prospect in that top 100, it's a no-brainer to hold on to that because he can win you, you know, a first-round pick. Now, you know, of course, Luis Gil won Rookie of the Year, didn't get you a first-round pick because there's stupid rules that he wasn't in the top 100. I hate him so much, but that's the way it is. So, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking I probably could use Spencer Jones on this team. And I understand it.
Yeah.
He could come up here. The strikeout rate could become a problem. Hitting in AAA and AA, it's just not the same. It's not. But you know what? Every prospect deals with that, right? Jack Caglione was so good, they didn't even know what to do with him in the minor leagues. He looked like what you're seeing from Spencer Jones. He looked like that all year. And he shows up to the big leagues, and it was a warm slice of humble pie. So you have no idea what a player's going to do when he sees big league pitching. I can say, you know, for my dad's sake, my dad actually was better when he got up to Major League Baseball, and he mentioned you saw more strikes. Guys were around the zone more often, whereas when he was in the minor leagues, dude would hit you with 100 miles an hour. He didn't know where the ball was going. So we have no idea. Not all this is stagnant. It's interesting, and it's a tough call for Brian Cashman because he's probably thinking, I can call up Spencer Jones, and then people are going to be pissed when we have to pay him, you know, whatever, and then there's a player behind him that we can't get because of it with our budget. So there's a lot at work here. Ninja Hot Dog with the five, also a member here at Yankees Unloaded, says, I also think it's a coaching issue. I'm assuming he's talking about the power game here. They seem to teach everyone to hit home runs. There you have it. And look at launch angle. They use a terrible one-size-fits-all approach. So I want to do a little bit of defense, a little here to the Yankees, because listening to this, I think personally this is more about personnel. It is. But I will say, if you really look at our roster and just look at the guys who played, not Giancarlo, we'll put him to the side. You see Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham's always been a boomer bust. I'm going to try to get my homers. I'm going to play solid defense. That's who he is. He's our leadoff hitter. Ben Rice just got here, so we don't know what his approach ever would be. And if anything, we said, Jake, that his launch angle should probably be better, higher, right? Whatever you want to call it. And Paul Goldschmidt hits third for the New York Yankees today. Paul Goldschmidt's power numbers, Yes Network, I thought, did a really good job of showing his slugging from the left side and the right side as far as left-handed and right-handed pitching. Well, he's not slugging, and he's our three hitter. Cody Bellinger is more of a pure bat-to-ball contact guy. He's got 20 homers, but you would never describe him as a boomer bust guy, right? A guy that's selling out for the homer. Cody Bellinger's not that guy. Jazz Chisholm, on the other hand, started this year, Jake. It was like watching Adam Dunn play baseball. It was, I'm going to hit a home run or I'm going to be useless and I'm going to go play third base. That was his job. As much athleticism as he had, and it frustrated us, it frustrated our audience, and we covered it as such. You mentioned the injury can sort of reset his mentality. We didn't chalk it up to the Yankees. We chalked it up to him. And what did he do when he walked back in the building? I'm going to go 70%. I'm gonna give it that 50 to 60% swing because of the count. It'll dictate that. And so we can't look at the positive stories of the Yankees lineup and just chalk it up to the players and their own personal adjustments and then watch some other guys, maybe a Jason Dominguez or an Anthony Volpe, be inconsistent. And now suddenly it has to do with the organization. So I don't agree as a whole, but certainly there are some players that just have bought into the power game when maybe they shouldn't.
No, that's definitely fair. And I agree with that. And you know, I wanted to highlight this because, you know, we've talked about Spencer Jones here, and Drew makes a really good point. Spencer Jones is not just a home run guy. So I think that that's a big thing. Also, agreed. Service time, you have to be on the roster, on an MLB roster, 172 days. So I'm not worried. There's no reason to be worried. Spencer Jones, regardless, Spencer Jones will be 25 next May, I believe. So you'll have him until he's 31, and then he'll be a free agent. You'll have control. So I'm not, like, worried.
I figured out what we should do. I figured it out. Now, mind you, I'm not the GM. I don't know anything. I'm just a podcaster. This is my personal take on what I think the Yankees should do. Looking at the team, I'm looking at Trent Grisham, right? I'm looking at Cody Bellinger. I'm looking at Spencer Jones, who's in AAA, currently playing right field for our AAA team. I move Cody Bellinger to first base right now. And I'll tell you why. Cody Bellinger is my first baseman. And you have to look at it from a standpoint of, well, where does Ben Rice go? Catcher. You've been talking about the numbers for weeks now. He's good enough behind the plate where we can get the bat in the lineup, but also it frees up first base for Cody Bellinger full time. Now that I have him in the regression of Paul Goldschmidt, if you want to sell on him, you can. You want to leave him for depth. He's an expiring contract, by all means. But you've opened up an outfield spot by moving Cody Bellinger. It's the whole reason we were attracted to this deal anyway, is he allows us to flex a player over to first base, opening up an outfield position. Why did the Yankees want to do that? Well, most of their prospects they really like to be ready soon is Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones. The best way to get both of those guys in the lineup every day or often as you want is to move a player who's high performing to another position of need. And I think Cody Bellinger moving to first base makes a ton of sense. It allows Ben Rice personally to play more times than not. And then if you really want to believe that Austin Wells is a great catcher, then I guess you can have he and Ben Rice split time. But for me personally, I like Ben Rice more than I like Austin Wells. So that's what I go with. That's my alignment. And it also, if you really want to, you can sell on Trent Grisham in that instance, just as Drew is saying, and you can go get a reliever. So that's all the moves that I would do. Are they going to do it? No, but it's my way of being creative.
Yeah, our guy John Morosi actually just tweeted out, heard tonight if the Padres trade a prominent pitcher like Dylan Cease or Robert Suarez, their preference is to acquire an MLB left fielder and or catcher in return as opposed to prospects. So they do not want prospects. They want somebody like a Trent Grisham, honestly. So
yeah, I also talked to another reporter earlier today, and they were saying that Ben Rice is very attractive to the Padres. So again, when people, and by the way, guys, it just to sort of defend my lineup here, I'm not telling you that Cody Bellinger, we have any reason to move him out of the outfield. It has more to do with other players, other fits that you need to find a way to get into that lineup. And I think Spencer Jones is one of those players where he's playing well enough to justify him being here. And how do I do that? Well, I flex one outfielder out of there that I know can handle it. That's someone who's going to give me plus defense wherever he goes. That's Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger was drafted as a first baseman. He was a gold glove first baseman. I don't believe he was voted gold glove, but he eventually won it out in right field. But you get the point. We are going to be good enough with that alignment. And so, yeah, it seems like San Diego is really inching towards trying to take our professional players off our 26 man, which I don't love. But I guess it's all dependent, Jake, on who goes out the door.
That is true. And we got Christian Brown here, who went up against Jeff Hoffman, who has been brought up on this show before. So shout out to Christian Brown. But yeah, so I wanted to touch on a different topic here. Well, Okay. Actually, you mentioned Ben Rice, so I'll mention this. I sent you a bunch of texts throughout the day. We just kept getting stuff to talk about. We knew this was going to be kind of a wild show. Brendan Cootie, some discussion earlier this year between Ben Rice and the outfield coordinator, Luis Rojas, about whether Rice could play the outfield. Rice shag fly balls a little bit in the minors. Yanks haven't tried the idea out yet, though. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. if they try to like balk at this decision with Giancarlo Stanton. So it is interesting. It does feel like they're trying to get Rice involved more. They're trying to put him back, because for a while it felt like Rice would just go four games without being in the lineup. So now it just seems like there's more of an attempt. And you could say part of that is, you know, Aaron Judge not being in the lineup now becomes more readily available. But it was happening before that. So I think that's something to monitor. But now we can really discuss this, because it is really fascinating to me. John Morosi also said, you know, the Yankees remain engaged with the Marlins and D-backs on possible rotation upgrades. The D-backs have rentals Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, while the Marlins have controllable trade candidate Sandy Alcantara and Edward Cabrera. Alcantara has gone 12 straight innings without allowing a run. He is pitching well. Edward Cabrera, on the other hand, is a guy that I've wanted for a while now.
And I feel like since the day I met you, I think maybe the first day I met you, you were talking about Cabrera.
I always, like, he was one of my sleeper guys because he hadn't quite emerged yet, but I always loved his stuff. And so I just, he's a stuff guy, right? He's not going to dominate you as far as like velocity and everything. He's not going to throw 103 or anything like that, but he's somebody that's going to hit you. He's got a nasty slider, nasty curveball, uses those two in combination. And you're looking at a guy with 3 years of control. So when I saw this, I got excited because I think Edward Cabrera makes a lot of sense for the New York Yankees. He's a young pitcher, 27 years of age. This is somebody that gives you, you know, some wiggle room there. Now, if you acquire somebody like that, because see, we keep hearing how they're going to go after this guy, they're going to go after this guy, they're going to go out, whatever. Why would they just get, like, we heard two starting pitchers from somebody, okay? They were saying they could get two starters. They could get Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen. Why would they do that? Well, makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, if you're going to go and get two starters, I'm not saying getting those two makes a lot of sense, but if you're going to get two starters, you want at least one of them to have control, because that way they can help you next year and the year, you know, after and so forth. But also, Gary, it gives you more flexibility to move a Will Warren, to move a Cam Schlittler, to move really anybody you want, because now you know moving forward you at least have Freed, you have Rodon, and then insert Cease or Edward Cabrera there, and Luis Gil's back. So I will tell you this right now, if they were unwilling to get rid of Luis Gil this offseason at his highest value point, they're not trading him now. They're just not. So he is going to be a part of this rotation. The question is, does Cam Schlittler, you know, is he still in pinstripes on August 1st? Is Will Warren still in pinstripes? What are we looking at in terms of Carlos LaGrange, who's done a really nice job? He's really just showing himself out. And then Elmer Rodriguez Cruz, who just seems to be flying up the radar. But there are other guys as well, and Bryce Cunningham and Ben Hess. So the Yankees actually have a lot of pitchers. And we've talked about this, Gary. As fun as it would be to have a rotation of just all farmhands, it's not possible. You signed an 8-year deal with Carlos Rodon. He's still right smack dab in the middle of it. You signed an 8-year deal with Freed. You have like, what, 4 more years of Gerrit Cole. You're really not even close to those contracts being up. And keep this in mind, you still have plenty of control of Luis Gil. You still have plenty of control of Will Warren. You still have plenty of control of Cam Schlittler. So that's the thing. If they didn't make a move at all, these guys are totally blocked right now. And that's why
it's just stacking up. You're just stacking up players at one position again. And it's going to feel, if the Yankees don't move, and we also talked about the draft last year, 2024's draft. Oh, starting pitcher. Oh, yeah. I wonder what angle they must be looking in. The first thing out of your mouth, Jake, is they must be looking to deal these guys. We weren't sure when. We weren't sure if it was the winter. We weren't sure if this was like maybe a post or with Juan Soto type of move. Okay, we're going to go get Juan Soto, so we need controllable pitching. Or you're going to bring in a Max Fried. You spent over $200 million. You've already got Heel. Rodon's under contract. Maybe a Cam Schlittler. And then you're looking up and saying, I've only got like 2 or 3 spots. Will Warren, is he going to fill a spot at the back end of that rotation? He's somewhat stepped up this year. And then you see a regression. So the Yankees right now, if I really had to, just to give some type of prediction of what's happening, there's just no way they hang on to all these starting pitchers. There's just not. I understand people, they want to keep Cam Schlittler because He clearly has shown us potential. We don't know what that's going to look like towards the end of 2025, considering we're a win now team. But do we really have a ton of doubt that he could be a really good pitcher by 2026, 2027? Ton of control there. But the Yankees are after control for players who are playing good baseball right now. That is the attractive thing right now to this team and to Brian Cashman. We've heard that from Jack Curry about a million times now. The Yankees, while they're looking and kicking tires on players, I saw in the chat, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, players that are rentals. Merrill Kelly's 36, but Zach Gallen, obviously not quite as old there. But when you're not getting control, the Yankees are not surrendering a Michael King-like package. They did that one time, and they're going to do it one time only. I'm not going to say the Yankees are looking to learn from their lesson. I think they're going to look at it and say, you wanted us to take our shot right there at the last second. We took it. We thought we could win the World Series. We got to Game 5 of the World Series and lost. So, yeah, you bring up Edward Cabrera. This is a player, by the way. There are going to be a lot of people who look up and say, that dude's got a 4.34 ERA, and then I see a 4 again. But then you see him fluctuate into the 3s. The Yankees do not overwork ERA. They just don't. They don't look at that number and say, oh, that's who that player is. Just the same way that Houston didn't look at Gerrit Cole and chalk him up to a 4 ERA pitcher. Gerrit Cole at the time clearly had ace stuff. He was clearly going to be an ace for a team. And so you look at that and say, well, what can we do with that player? Who is Edward Cabrera in pinstripes? Who is Edward Cabrera? Who is a Sandy Alcantara, who, by the way, I don't want? Who are these players? Who is a Duran with Matt Blake at the helm? What does that look like? And so keep in mind that's what the Yankees are really trading for. Fernando Cruz along the same lines. If we were getting Fernando Cruz from last year's team in Cincinnati, that's a player we probably want DFA'd. We don't even want on this roster. But Fernando Cruz, we're waiting on him to get healthy because of what the Yankee staff can do with talent. And so Edward Cabrera has no shortage of talent. I think he can really be somewhat of that move, Jake, that you've talked about in Philadelphia. His name eludes me every time we talk about him, but he added a pitch. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn it.
you had it, didn't you?
I had it, and I was like... no, I know who you're talking about, though. You're talking about Jesus Luzardo. Yes.
Thank you. So if they were getting Jesus Luzardo, Miami Marlins version of him,
you say that.
That's not very good.
It's really funny you say that. So look at I want to show you something. I actually think he'd be a huge, huge addition. Like, I think he would absolutely flourish with the Yankees. And here's
why. Oh, you love it.
Love it.
No, so, we did not. You're lying. You're lying to me.
Wait, hold on.
Did we just make a trade?
Damn it. We're in the era now where we're going to get comments. And
I'm not even going to allow people to get me hyped up. Did we just make a trade?
I'm not seeing anything.
I'm not seeing anything.
I just saw an AI image of Anthony Rendon on the Yankees, and I don't think I'm ever going on X again.
Okay. I don't see any trade.
No.
We don't buy it.
That happens to me all the time when I'm doing my Rams videos. So trust me. It's annoying. But also, I was live when they traded for Stafford. So it does.
Oh, were you really?
Yes. It does. And I was not even talking about the Rams. I was talking about the Senior Bowl and they traded for Stafford. But the thing is, you're gonna see that. You're gonna see people do that, but you're also gonna see people who actually break trades if we're live. So you got to trust in the comments section. Just, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, check it. And then if it's not, it's like, all right, we move on.
Yankees for life, you're banned. You're gone.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm not going to ban you. So
the thing that gets me really excited about this player, right? I already mentioned 27 years of age. I already mentioned 3 years of control, including this year, of course. He's got a body to last, and you know what I mean by that. 6'5", 217, like Yankees, they started focusing on that more. You saw with their draft picks of Ben Hess. You saw with, you know.
Wait, you don't want more Marcus Stroman bodies, the 5'6", 180 pounds?
Nope, definitely don't. Okay. Look at the breaking run value right there, 98th percentile. But
do you see the fastball run value, by the way? Yes. This is exactly what Will Warren's savant page looked like. Do you remember Will Warren? His fastball was just downright atrocious. And they were saying, like, yeah, the analytics don't even tell you how the story of how bad his fastball is. You fast forward into 2025, and they fixed his fastball. That's actually been the biggest progression to his game. We maybe can fix that fastball in New York.
I agree completely. And I'm actually going to add on to that. So the thing that gets me excited about Cabrera is I just think, sorry, Marlins, I think they have the worst development team I've ever seen. They are a marketing company. That's what they are. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to trade everybody and not win a damn thing. Gone are the days of Gary Sheffield Marlins. They are not that anymore. They are not winning a World Series anymore.
To be fair, they did trade the hell out of that roster the second the team won the World Series. So I don't want to give them too much credit.
Well, that no, I know that's the problem. It's always been that ownership that's just like, I don't want to pay anybody. Let's trade everybody. I don't know. They get bored. So look at this run value. This is where I want to show you. Okay, this fastball look is at awful, that. Right? This can be fixed, though. Actually, it's a lot better than last year. But this, look at the curveball. Look at the slider. When I watch him throw these, I see the exact same thing. Okay? But here's the thing. He doesn't throw either of them the most. He actually throws the change the most. I think he's getting bad information, Gary. I think he is getting bad development. And I think if you were to put him on the Yankees with Matt Blake, this could be solved very quickly. You know how? Throw your damn slider more.
What did they do with Fernando Cruz again?
They were just like, oh, yeah, that one pitch that you're just dominant with, yeah, throw that more.
Sometimes it's that simple, guys. When they say analytics, it's not always a bunch of Kyles pulling out a calculator. It doesn't have to be that. It could be as simple as, okay, the guy's got a four-seam, a sinker, a slider, a changeup. Hey, your changeup gets hammered. Hey, why don't you throw that less? Sometimes it's as simple as that. Just recognizing what's working, what is not, and the analytics can help you determine what's working and what's not. For Edward Cabrera, this is a guy the Yankees probably aren't going to just say, hey, stop throwing your fastball. He's a starter, but they are going to probably make some tweaks. Maybe you throw a sinker more often. Maybe you work in a cutter, right? And you see that obviously with Max Fried. You see actually quite a bit. You see some four-seam fastballs, and they don't call it a cutter. It's a cutter. So very interesting. I love this.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Like, I just showed you the run value, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at this. The slider's right there. Why is he not throwing that? A 194 batting average against. Now, obviously, the curveball. But again, why is the curveball, why is he throwing the changeup? Which, it's not bad, but he's throwing it the most when it's not even close to his best pitch. I have it right here. So this
where
is
would he
where,
be in the rotation, by the way, if we brought him in?
Number three.
He'd be our three.
Because Luis Gil, when fully healthy, fully revved up, he's three. But Edward Cabrera right now is fully revved up. He's having his best year of his career. And he would even, I think he'd be better instantaneously on the Yankees. I really do.
I think everyone knows that. I think even the Marlins know that, which is part of the reason why you see a player like Edward Cabrera. He's been a part of rumors for 2 years.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why you don't see those trades is because some of these organizations know we're not the best thing for this person. We're not the best thing for this guy's development. And Alex says, you know what, Gary? Not every team has access to the elite, advanced, cutting-edge analytics the Yankees have access to. Yeah.
What would we do without Alex? Nothing.
What's funny is Michael Kay brings that stuff up, and it sounds so ridiculous, and it's so true at the same time. It sounds ridiculous.
That's a good question. What would they have to give up? Let's check.
Do you want to go ahead and take a look at that? We can absolutely do it. We're not going to dive in and make this the Edward Cabrera special, but we absolutely can discuss it at least at the surface level. And I would say the Yankees probably, if you're talking about a player with control, you're talking about the top of your system. And I'm not talking about Lombard. I'm talking about it could be a Ben Hess. You're getting something really good here. And it's controllable through 2028. It's an important pickup for the Yankees. Obviously not as important as a big time reliever, but this is a major move for the Yankees.
24.5, and you get him for 3 years of control.
Isn't that where Austin Wells fluctuates, about 24?
No, Wells is higher.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, Wells is 35.
I wasn't
35.
Sure where he was.
Yeah.
35. Okay.
He was a lot higher. Wells was like in the 50s at one point. Now Jazz has worked his way into the second spot. Lombard Jr. flew up here. Spencer Jones got some more. It really depends. I mean, would the Yankees trade Will Warren and take a bath, essentially? I don't know. My thing is the Marlins aren't going to want Will Warren. They're going to want prospects. They're not going to want Jason Dominguez. They're not going to want Anthony Volpe. They're not going to want Ben Rice. I think they want prospects. And so obviously if Spencer Jones is off the table, you'd probably have to trade somebody like a Bryce Cunningham here. Pretty good value. Probably they'd want
to. LaGrange is probably in there.
LaGrange is probably in there. You're right. I don't know. It really depends. I think the Yankees would probably be like, you get one or the other, and then you can get Rafael Flores, or you can get somebody like, where is he? I don't even know where he went, but
he disappeared. He's already been traded.
Yeah, Pereira, I was going to say. I think it'd probably be a 3-player trade. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded Chase Hampton. And there you have it. Fair trade, they say. So that's kind
of
the basis.
You're giving them a ton. And here's 3 guys you can control who have real potential at the big league level. You give us this player that you don't know how to use. You've got this Porsche 911 sitting in your driveway. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to drive stick. We do. We've got Matt Blake. He can drive stick. And so you're pretty much the Marlins know we're going to trade this dude and he's going to look like a 2. In about 2 months.
Yeah.
They know that. But there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's a matter of you send them to us, you send them to the Dodgers, doesn't matter who you send them to. It's going to be a loss for the Marlins. They've just got to figure out how much of a loss do they want to take. And I want to put Jimmy up on the screen. Thank you for the super. Says Boone's reaction. Thank you for the 5, by the way. Says Boone's reaction whenever he's asked about Volpe sucking is insane. Starting to think Brian Cashman has told him, if you say anything negative, you're gone. It's almost like watching when people interview the president and they ask him a question that's obviously not in their favor and they just freak out, no matter who's the president, yeah. That's the way it feels. It feels like we're in politics with the Yankees. It's so strange. I get it. He's a player that your job is to defend your players. You're not going to be like, hey, Volpe leads the league in errors. I know, man, he's horrible. You're not going to do that. But at the same time, there doesn't need to be such a reaction when reporters are just doing their job.
No, I agree with that. I think I understand it's tough because with Boone, you go to war every day with the same guys and you see the preparation and you see what Volpe's put in and you know he's a young kid and you get that. But, you know, are you going to go down with the ship for Anthony Volpe? Like, I understand going down the ship with, you know, Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, Anthony Volpe. Really? That's who you're going to, you know, you're going to die on that hill.
That's why they hired him. Player manager.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of it. I wanted to ask you, Gary, Edward Cabrera or Dylan Cease? Because Edward Cabrera gives you 3 years of control, probably will cost a little bit more, but I don't think he's going to cost an arm and a leg. I just don't. I don't think they're not getting Spencer Jones. They're not getting Lombard. I don't even know if they get Cam, okay? So it wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg, and you get 3 years of control, but Cease, it's weird because he's not having as good of a year, but he feels like more of a sure thing this year in Cease hopes of trying to win it all. But yes, you would be trading away prospects for essentially a rental. So it feels more like Cease is a move that you make if you really buy into your playoffs. And Edward Cabrera is where you can kind of kill two birds with one stone. You need a starting pitcher. If you feel that way, he's a starting pitcher, but he also helps you down the road as well.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Cease. I'll start off with that. Mm-hmm. Cease, to me, is a player, if the Padres are going to sell low on this guy towards the end, you're talking about the 31st.
Yeah.
If a move's made on the 31st and I didn't get a starter, I didn't get a Cabrera or whatever have you, and you know, oh, the Padres, they don't have the offer that they're looking for, but they still want to move this player. He's not pitching well. They don't think they can fix him. Now I allow this move to happen. I'm all for it. I have no problem with a rental. Where we get in trouble here is when we're giving up real value for a rental. And I think everyone agrees, you don't want to give up too much value for a rental unless it's like a player who's playing well, he's a star, And he's also joining a complete team where he's the missing piece. Dylan Cease is not in that position when he joins the Yankees. Dylan Cease is going to more than likely help our rotation. And you don't want to give up a ton of value to a team that right now we're going to be dealing with issues with our budget this offseason. We just are. And you don't want to surrender prospects for a player like this that's not a sure thing when Cabrera, albeit still not a sure thing, he's pitching much better this year than Dylan Cease. So if a guy's pitching better, he may cost you more, but maybe he costs more for a reason. And maybe the guy who costs more should just be simply the player that you focus on. So yeah, my focus is not Cabrera or Dylan Cease. However, if I had to pick between the two, it's Cabrera any day of the week.
Yeah, I like Dylan Cease a lot, and you kind of got me on that train, but I'm going to go with Cabrera. If he's available, he shouldn't be available. You know, to me, you have to remind yourself the only reason these guys are available is because these are bad organizations. These guys shouldn't be available. Okay, he's 27. He has a 3.35 ERA. You have 3.35 ERA, and you're talking about a guy that he has 3 years of control, and he's got nasty breaking run value and everything. Like, that's not a guy that should be traded. But if he's available, yeah, you got to try to find a way to do that, because that, to me, it's, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about, you know, when we talk about all the time. I think Jose Ramirez is great. He's great for baseball. He's one of the stars in this league. But trading for a 31-year-old, right? I don't want to give up top prospects. I'm a little bit more open when I'm getting a guy with control who's in his prime, or at least at the beginning of prime. So I feel like that's what you're kind of looking at with Cabrera, but he's also not like a star yet. And I feel like this is somebody that, regardless of where he gets traded and who he gets traded for, I do think he is going to be undersold. I do.
Can he be a star in Miami? I mean, you mentioned Jazz Chisholm, and you said, oh, I think he's going to be a star in New York. Now, Jazz Chisholm is not a star yet, but he's certainly playing star-like baseball for maybe a month or two, and then he regresses, right? But the point is Jazz Chisholm's a much better player for the Yankees than he was for the Marlins. It's not even close.
Of course, yeah.
The output is already popping off the screen, and I know today, I feel like today's the perfect day to talk about it. I'm not even saying it for recency bias. He was 0 for 4 with 3 punchies today. But Jazz Chisholm was never going to reach his potential in Miami. He knew that. They knew that as an organization, and they thought about that on the trade market. And Cabrera is probably the same deal. Cabrera is not going to be some superstar. Like, obviously, you saw it, right, with Fernandez. Obviously, he was. But for the most part, Miami's not really developing superstars over there. They're just not. No. They almost just seem like a farm system at the big league level, just sort of all traveling, Delta, first class, all this stuff. But they're not really trying to win anything. They're not anything. They're harboring talent. And then eventually they deal it away, and then there's some other random player that was 97, and you hear about him again on the trade market. It's unfortunate. I always root for these teams to be able to keep their talent, but when we're in the position we're in, and there's a player with 3 years of control, Jake, you said he probably shouldn't be traded. I would actually argue perhaps he should be. The Marlins, the best time to trade a player is when he's actually starting to rise up in value, and you don't really have anything to do with him. The Yankees are going to pay a big price for this player, and rightfully so. I have no problem with that, so long as it doesn't hurt our potential to go get a Duran, to go get a Bednar, any of those key assets the Yankees clearly have to acquire. So if you can go get a big-time reliever, I would argue the Yankees clearly need two. They just do. And you turn around and Cabrera is a Yankee and you have control for 3 years, you bring in a closer who's got 3 years of control in Duran, that's a killer deadline. None of us should be complaining at that point.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, you can see, because also it's important. I've seen a lot of comments on our previous live streams and our videos, and people are like, can you guys stop like pushing trades? I mean, this team isn't going to the World Series, and, you know, there's no point.
No,
and I would say one, no. But even if that was the case, even let's say you're right, they're not going to the World Series, this team's not doing it, they still have to trade these guys. A lot of these guys are blocked. They're blocked. This is the best time to trade somebody like a Carlos LaGrange, like an Elmer Rodriguez Cruz. These guys have sky-high value. Everyone is talking right now about, you know, who they have right now in their farm system pitching-wise, okay? And then you look and you're like, oh, well, you also have all of these draft picks. They have to fit in. you actually don't have enough roster space if you don't trade some of these guys, because then all of a sudden, then you're going to lose some of these guys to the Rule 5. So you actually have to get rid of them. That is by
design.
I wanted
to throw Maurice on the screen, because when you mention trades, and some people will be like, can you guys stop talking trades? First off, I'll answer it myself. No, It's our podcast. And secondly, Maurice, thank you for joining Yankees Unloaded. Thank you for getting involved in the comment section. Greatly appreciated. I hope you are a subscriber here with Yankees Unloaded. Says, all these trade ideas are nice, but when are they actually going to make a major trade? That's a good question, but I will tell you this. When Jeff Passan's saying, yeah, the Yankees are calling on big trades, we expect the Yankees to make a big splash. When you hear reports of that, that's all the reason you need to know of why we're going to talk about a Duran. Who is considered a major trade? Well, the Yankees' biggest needs in their bullpen. So what does that tell you? Brian Cashman is forced, has to get multiple big-time arms in that bullpen. If the Yankees had multiple big-time arm additions to this team, the team goes from we're just okay to we're pretty good again. We just are. There's not a ton of holes in the field. We still score. We have clearly ways to improve. Spencer Jones obviously is not up on the big league roster just yet. Obviously, Judge just got hurt. But when you look at our team, we're really just putrid in our bullpen. That's why we're not winning games. I mean, let's just put it the way it is, Jake. We watch this team every day. Jonathan Loaisiga, how can you expect to win games, go on a win streak? People have been talking to us about win streaks. Jonathan Loaisiga, Tim Hill, right? Whoever else. Who else is pitching for us?
Jonathan, well, I mean, you got all sorts of guys, right? I mean, you got Hedrick in there.
Hedrick, Cruz is gone. Weaver hasn't been himself this year. He's starting to show improvement, right?
Brubaker.
You think you guys are going to go on a 4 or 5 game win streak? No. No, you're not. I'm here to tell you right now. But when you go into the trade deadline and you make two monstrous trades in your bullpen, well, guess what? The 8th and 9th inning is no longer a problem. The sixth and seventh now, some of the guys you guys see in the 8th inning, those guys can be flexed all the way to the 6th. It changes your bullpen. You only need about 3 or 4 guys in your inner circle, and right now there's about 2, maybe 1. So I love the idea that the Yankees are going to get aggressive. I have never bought into the fact that the Yankees should sell, because as Michael Kay brought up, I thought he did a beautiful job of describing it.
Yeah,
he really brought up the fact that the Yankees are way too big of a brand to, first off, fans were pissed off that we lost in the fashion we lost in the World Series. We lost in the World Series and fans were pissed.
I get
pissed it. Pissed off. And so now you're going to go through a sale and these fans are going to be like, at least we've got a direction. No, you're not. We're going to go out there and win 74 games because we sold, and fans are going to be livid. And guess what's going to happen? Decline in attendance, right? The Yankees clearly are no longer, they're making decisions buy, sell. That's for other organizations to do. And that's partly why you don't see as many fans in their stands. So yeah, selling is just not it. The Yankees are buying. It's just a matter of who they're buying.
Yeah. And I also wanted to touch on this and do a little exercise here, because we talk about high leverage guys a lot. I feel like we should kind of do some research here. Just let's do some research on some of these guys. Are they really high leverage? Yeah, that's a buzz term. Oh, yeah, high leverage. Just because he pitches in the 8th doesn't mean he can actually pitch in high leverage situations, right?
Right.
So I actually, I'm bringing up right now Johan Duran, and these are his high leverage numbers. That checks out for me, you know? The 590 OPS against. The 206 batting average. I'm cool with that. Batting average balls in play is 288. His medium leverage is a little, you know, he's got a pretty high batting average balls in play, but this is good. Like, I'll do this. Who's another one that you would... Ryan Helsley's getting linked to them, right? So let's do Ryan Helsley here.
And Bednar probably be the last guy we would consider, right?
Yeah. So then, yeah, and then we'll do Bednar. So it's important, I think, and I'll do this year, but I could also do career as well. I did career for Duran. All right. So, yeah, right now, see, this is kind of my thing. I don't think Helsley is as great of a pickup as everyone else does. I don't think this is awful, but, like, you know what I mean? I'm not.
It's more in comparison. similar to the Ryan McMahon signing. Now, mind you, he's better at his job than Ryan McMahon is at his own job. Let's be clear about that. But yeah. I will say this. In comparison to what the Yankees have in the room,
well, that's true.
Helsley is a major upgrade. However, you're not going to be sending Cunningham, Ben Hess to go get Helsley. He's not a sure thing as much as a Duran is. I understand you look at the top of the market and you see Duran. You probably see it in that order. You see, right? You see Bednar, but not all those guys should be grouped together. They're just not. There's not three lights out closers. There's one lights out guy and another guy is like pretty good. I mean, Helsley's good, but he's not monstrous. Bednar, I have in the same conversation. I think Bednar is a very good pitcher, but I don't look at Bednar and he doesn't instill fear into me. There's clearly a gap there in talent.
No, I tend to agree with that. Okay, so high leverage here.
Would you agree that Duran is Duran the only reliever that you would trade big prospects for, or do you think there's multiple for you?
He's the only one. Look at Bednar and high leverage.
I would agree.
I don't even know if I want Bednar anymore. What the hell? What is that?
You're going to be in high leverage. You're just simply going to be in high leverage, especially if we're a team that potentially is coming out of a wild card. There's no guarantee that we're coming back in this division. I mean, to think we're guaranteed to win this division, you'd be a fool. We may be trying to go on some wild card run where we're left and right in high leverage. Well, you're going to be pitching in high leverage, Bednar, if you're a Yankee. I mean, so these are things you have to consider.
These are the scariest numbers to me. Batting average, balls in play. I mean, he's almost giving up 400 in high leverage. Probably really high hard contact.
Ted Williams when the ball's in play.
So I love when you do that.
And Miguel says, Miguel, thank you for the five. Thank you for investing in our channel. It's greatly appreciated. It says, there's a rumor that the Yanks are close to a deal with the Twins for a big arm. Can you confirm this? I cannot. I haven't seen anything of that nature. I wish it were true, but we're just going to wait for the heavy hitters and obviously not the mics to be making reports. You know, Jake, as you know it.
Oh, yeah.
We want to not try to be first. We just want to be accurate for you guys. That's our goal. I understand that there's this whole everyone pulls out the lotion for, oh, I was first and give me credit. I'm not interested in the game.
Durant?
What?
What was it? It wasn't Kevin Durant. It was Jalen Ramsey when he announced he was going to the Steelers and people were like,
unbelievable.
Yeah, per sources, I'm hearing Jalen Ramsey is going to the Steelers.
And then all of a sudden you see, so Jalen Ramsey tweets out, I want to make sure I give full context. He tweets out, per me, I've signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no one else to report. The person who's been traded is saying they've been traded or they're signing with the team. And all of a sudden you see reporters out there just getting excited and saying, I've also reached out to my sources and I can confirm this report. We don't need you. Just wait until the information's out. When the information's out, just be done with it. But obviously now with the Twitter and Instagram, people want to be in a rush to be first. Why? Because then you get plastered up on Barstool or whoever else. And they're like, look, here's the news. And they treat the person who reported the news like as if they pulled the trigger on the trade. It's just beyond stupid. So Miguel, no, we have no idea about the rumor. We've certainly heard about it, but we don't have any information yet as to anything being imminent. And Brian, the Hall of Fame commenter here, thank you for the five, says, my trade idea would be Warren Dominguez, maybe another prospect for Stephen Kwan. Now, Brian's been very high on this player. Stephen Kwan is a player that I'm sure the Yankees are high on. He's probably not available, if I'm being honest. I haven't heard anything that he was available.
He's probably going to the Dodgers, Scary.
Yeah, I didn't need you to say that.
Yeah, he's probably going to the Dodgers. I'm hearing, because keep in mind, I have boots on the ground without actually being on the ground in L.A. I hear it all the time. There's something there. So,
source Jake, if Kwan gets traded, everybody, you can go ahead and say that Jake broke the news. So, Jake, yeah,
I did
great
not
work.
Break no news, but I appreciate it.
So, I mean, yeah, if you can trade Warren and Jason Dominguez for Stephen Kwan, Stephen Kwan's one of the best defensive left fielders in the sport, if not the. And he's also a guy that plasters at the top of your lineup. And when people criticize the Yankees offense, they don't criticize the runs scored. They criticize how the Yankees score runs. Stephen Kwan is part of the Cody Bellinger build where he can hit a homer, but that's not his goal. His goal is to get on base, and yeah, we're not getting Stephen Kwan, but I mean, I would love it, Brian.
Yeah, no, it would be nice. I also, the more I watch Jason Dominguez, the more I want it to work out. And it just doesn't feel like, as much as I want to, you know, definitely be aggressive at the deadline, I'm just so focused on relief pitching, it's not even funny. I don't care about upgrades in the offense. I just don't. I mean, until they haven't even gotten anybody yet. This is Griffin Jacks, by the way. Love the high leverage numbers. Scared a little bit about the medium low leverage stuff, but yeah.
They can't all be good technically. Like the medium, low, and high, to be fair to all these pitchers, if you're good in high, medium, and low, you're
one of the best ever.
You're literally like Paul Skeens. You are literally just dominant in all situations, then all right. But I mean, think about it. We did this with Aaron Judge. It was like medium. He was not very good. He was ridiculous in low leverage and ridiculously good in high leverage, despite what a lot of people may think. So it's just the way it goes. I think he would be a great pickup. He just would be.
I think they're sleeping on him because, I mean, I saw, I don't know if you saw that ranked top 10 in the bullpen today. It was wild.
I did not.
So an NL scout.
You're close.
Ranked the top 10 of guys that are available. Okay.
Okay.
Number 10 was Griffin Jacks. Number 9 was Raisel Iglesias. Number 8 was Phil Matone. Number 7 was Kyle Finnegan. 6 was Pierce Johnson. 5 was David Bednar. 4 was Ryan Helsley. 3 was Dennis Santana, which I was blown away by.
I can see like a Finnegan. Well, first off, we got like a Duran Finnegan deadline, that would make sense.
I don't like Finnegan at all, but I guess he'd be
he is a lefty
over.
Right,
no, he's a righty.
Which Finnegan am I thinking? Am I thinking the Finnegan who would pitch for the Royals in the World Series from the College World Series? You know which one I'm talking about?
Probably.
It was like Brandon Finnegan. I forgot what his name was.
This is Kyle Finnegan. Sorry, number Kyle. Number two is Cade Smith, and number one was Yoan Duran, for to no shock at all. Among the list of players that were not included in the top 10, they weren't like ranked, so it's not like they were left out. They just weren't asked about.
Devin Williams wasn't in there.
Mason Miller wasn't considered there.
Right.
Jake Bird. I don't know who some of the other guys are that they're talking about
here. That surprises me that Jake Bird wasn't in that list.
I don't get that, because if Jake Bird is available, I mean, he's better than Kyle Finnegan.
I would think so. I mean, I didn't even know who Kyle Finnegan was just up until a second ago, so he must be.
Kyle Finnegan. Well, okay, was that not Griffin Jacks and that was JoJo Romero the whole time?
Well, JoJo Romero, I think we both like that option. And Christian Brown, thank you for the five, says honest thoughts. I saw this a couple times.
That was JoJo Romero. My bad, guys. I guess I looked up.
This is a bad source. Yeah, Christian says, honest thoughts on A-Rod being the next manager of the Yankees. Also, I would trade Ascara. They just traded Fortes, Pereira, Riggio for Cabrera. What? I'm trying to understand the full scope of what I've just read, but I'll answer the A-Rod thing.
Well, Nick
Alex
Fortes.
Rodriguez is not becoming... He's not becoming the Yankees manager. The Yankees have chosen, and I disagree with it, to not have him in Monument Park. My opinion is that he should be out there. You're not going to hold him back from being in Monument Park and give away his number, and then all of a sudden, he's good enough to be the manager of your team in the future. I just don't think it makes sense. I just don't think they're going to do it. Do I think he's smart enough to do it? Do I think maybe he would take it on? Sure. But I just don't see it given the relationship.
No, I get what he's saying. So Nick Fortes was on the Marlins, and he was just traded to Tampa. Like, I think this was his first game today on Tampa, if I'm not mistaken, maybe. I'm trying to catch up here.
Okay, so Christian is saying Pereira and Riggio for Cabrera. That's his intended package there at the end. So, okay, I follow.
Yeah, yep.
Pereira, Riggio's lighting it up.
Yeah, no, Riggio.
Yeah, Rock Riggio.
He's somebody you trade he's only playing second. Jazz is your long-term second baseman, the hope, right? If Rock Reggio isn't moving around, that just tells me that they're not trying to get creative to give him an opportunity. He's blocked.
Which is fine. If you don't, you don't have to get creative. Fine. Technically, you can let him just light it up in the minor leagues if you don't have any intention to clear any room. Well, guess what? Simple. I'm trading that guy. You trade him. He's got value for somebody else because maybe they'll put in the effort to clearing a lane. It'll be value for them. So I like the idea. I think, Jake, you're the one who introduced me the idea that Rock Reggio would potentially be trade bait, which is why you were actually talking about wanting him to just light it up, very similar to what we saw Augustin Ramirez do, where he sort of inflates his value through performance, and you turn around and make the trade and bring in a player you need.
Yeah, no, of course. And Drew said is Brandon Finnegan, which I think you actually corrected yourself at one point with that.
Yeah, Brandon, I did remember that name, Brandon Finnegan. He pitched in the College World Series and the World Series in 2015, if I'm not mistaken. All the same.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, that's good.
Why I thought he was pitching in relief 10 years later, don't ask me. Fried brain.
You deserve some credit there. I'll say that. So, we have Geronimo. Thank you for the two. Love this show, and I'm so happy I found it. Hashtag no cheeks. I don't know what that means.
RIP to cheeks. We have no idea if any of you know where he's at. Please let us know. But yeah, Geronimo,
we're going to have to start putting him on milk cartons.
We probably will.
Have you seen cheeks?
That'll probably be what I wear next year when we do our little our Audi club visit. Obviously, we're going to be setting that up with Ed W. But yeah, I'm going to show up with a shirt on that says no cheeks. Probably get kicked out of Yankee Stadium, but I mean, we'll see. But Geronimo, thank you for the two. Obviously, investing in Yankees Unloaded. Greatly appreciate it. I assume you're already a subscriber, so welcome aboard. And Christopher, obviously looking at Giancarlo in a wig.
Appreciate you, Christopher.
Very interesting price that he puts in there for $5.27, but thank you for that. Also, a member here at Yankees Unloaded says, just putting this energy out into the world, I will proudly ship Jake and Gary the Buffalo Bills jersey of their choice if Cease becomes a Yankee. Now, Jake, I will say this about Cease. I mentioned the fact he's a rental. The Yankees seem to have a hard-on for players with control. I mean, I don't have any gripe with that. I don't have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. The last thing we need to be dealing with is Cody Bellinger being a free agent this offseason. The last thing we need to be dealing with are other assets, either in our rotation, in our bullpen. I mean, Devin Williams, as hit or miss as he's been, he's a free agent this offseason. And so you look at this and you're just like, any player with control will take it. I'm just not sure if I want another player on my team who's just going to be gone after the year. So yeah, Christopher, we will absolutely hold you to that. I'll wear it. I'll wear a Buffalo Bills jersey. I'm an Eagles fan, so we just won the Super Bowl. I don't really care. I've got house money at this point.
Yeah, I like Josh Allen. So I'd rock a Josh Allen jersey for the show.
I want a Robert Rams. Woods jersey. So Christopher, just in case this comes to fruition, I'll take a Robert Woods jersey.
Oh, Robert Woods. You know that football over there was signed by Robert Woods. So
the football's off screen?
Yeah, it's basically getting cut off. But yeah, the football
is a good effort.
Yeah, it's meant to be a full setup, not like split screen. So, but yes, there's a Robert Woods signed football with the Super Bowl 56 logo, of course.
Yeah, I didn't have enough memorabilia. My setup is perfect for a split screen. I've only got two things. I got a picture of me and Derek Jeter. I've got a signed bat. Oh, who the hell is that? Oh, this bat right here is the 2004-2005 Yankees, the whole team.
Damn.
And that is an Anthony Volpe jersey. Obviously, I'm kidding. And then those baseballs right there are the Mets from like the David Wright, Jose Reyes, Beltran eras. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably should be on a shelf somewhere. Instead, they're just sitting there. But yeah, we've got plenty of other stuff. I really should put it all back there, but obviously we get lazy.
No, that's definitely fair. But I like your setup. I like my setup. It's wild. Represents me. This is literally me in a nutshell. I'm interested in a lot of different things. Brian, thank you for the five. You guys need to come down for spring training. I'm down here in Tampa, and I used to run into your pops at Berkeley games. Well, Brian, I was actually out there.
I'm going to end up in a suitcase. No, in all seriousness, no, Brian. We would love to meet everybody and just, like we said, put some faces so I'm not just seeing a floating bee, right? And mind you, we see a lot of these names that supported our podcast. Jake and I both, I mean, we've definitely over the years, Jake's been covering the Rams for years, and he's gotten a chance to meet some of the people and obviously build some friendships where they end up becoming better friends than even the friends you got in real life. So, I mean, if you really think about it, I talked to Brian, Christopher, you know, now it's like you look up and you see Miguel, Jimmy, Ninja Hot Dog. I talk to Ninja Hot Dog more than I do half my friends. So you sort of see, right. So you start to see that these people start to really matter. And then when you go to George Steinbrenner Field, hopefully the Tampa Bay Rays are out of there by that point. But it'll be great to meet you guys. And we'll absolutely do that at some point.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'll tell you from experience, I did a meet and greet, and it's so funny because I was like, I was skeptical because everyone kept telling me, no, do it. We'll show up. So I do a meet and greet at a Rams tailgate, and dude, they show up. They do.
Yeah.
And that's the Rams. So imagine what the Yankees fans would do. But yeah, Gary, we were out there. My father, myself, my aunt, my cousin, who you said happy birthday to, we were out there and we saw, who did we see? The Yankees play who? Oh, Detroit. So we were out there. I watched Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt, and you know they're hitting the cover off the ball. I saw Cam Schlittler, you know, throw a little bit. So
did Volpe make any throws? Did you watch that?
No, I don't remember what Volpe did. I just remember Peraza at third just blowing my mind. I was texting you like, what, dude? This is crazy. Oh, and Jason Dominguez was going to be the death of me. He had like three misplayed balls in the outfield. But
so you haven't been shocked by any of the development of his defense this year?
He's not anywhere near as bad as he was that day. It was really, to be fair, the sun was insane that day. I think I forgot my sunglasses. It was awful. It was like the sun was brutal. So, you know, hard to see and everything. But the point being, guys, yeah, you know, I tend to go to Florida every year, the beginning of every year. I have family there. So yeah, if I'm there in spring training this year, and I definitely want to be, maybe we could plan something.
That probably makes more sense. I mean, we'll do Yankee Stadium, of course, because I mean, I really want to do the Audi Club, and then of course I want to go sit behind home plate and go to the restaurant. I mean, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people who don't know about it. That restaurant that's behind home plate, if you sit back there, I don't remember what they call them again, that little section. Mm-hmm. You get steak, all the Brussels sprouts, unbelievable. So good.
It's exactly what I'm expecting to get out of a game.
I'm telling you right now.
Brussels sprouts.
People, dude, I was eating Bomb Pops, Tweety Bird ice cream, and I was watching us get shut down by, what's his face from Oakland, who we traded for? What's his name again?
Oh, Montas?
Yeah, Frankie Montas. He was shutting us down, then we traded for him, and he got lit up and hurt. So pretty
so Yankees-esque. Funny.
And Roman, thank you for the five. Thank you for the super. Says, just wanted to say thank you to guys for keeping us so informed. God bless. So Roman, thank you for that.
Appreciate you,
greatly Roman. Appreciated helping support the channel. Yeah, I mean, we've definitely been surprised and still not with our audience of how much we've grown. We're going to be at 10,000 very quickly. Oh, I guess we better. Well, I guess we can't order the jersey because technically it has to be custom ordered. No. Whoever wins that jersey is getting whatever they want. Cody Bellinger is probably the jersey I'd go with.
We're now under 1,500 subscribers away. So
there you have it.
We've crossed the threshold.
So. The Legends Suite.
That would be cool. Yeah, I mean, I just think it would be a blast. And, you know, Gary and I, of course, want to get the community involved as much as we can. It's why, you know, the DNA of our show is the community. You know, we'll yap and we'll talk about what we want to talk about, but we're always trying to answer super chats, and we still highlight regular comments. Can't highlight every single comment. By the way, Gary, 880 comments yesterday.
Oh, total on the live across their
on
videos?
The live stream.
Oh,
no, on the live stream. Yeah, not like, a play. It's on its own. So yeah,
which I've also never... helps the algorithm. So I mean,
yes,
when people
yes,
comment, they look at the rate, they look at the likes. You can watch them for 2 hours, comment 50 times, and they're like, he didn't like the video. It must this show must suck. And I see Ed W in the comments right there. I was just talking about him. Ed, thank you for the 10. He says, I'm in Phoenix arguing a case on 8-4. Let me know where to hit you up. We can have dinner, coffee, or cigar. Those seats are called Legends, and it's $7.50 a seat. Same food and Audi for $100 a person. So, yeah. Anytime I've ever sat back there, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm flexing paying $7.50 for a ticket. I'm not paying $750 to do anything. I'm just not doing that. It's not happening. The only place I waste money is going out to dinner. But no, Ed, we really appreciate it. We absolutely will meet up. So, and God bless you coming to Phoenix at this time of year. You're a fool. It's very hot. Very hot. I mean, it's unbelievable. AC bill's like $400. Zero humidity whatsoever. It's like it would be very similar if you just went into your kitchen right now and turn on your oven, preheat 350, and then just stepped into it. 45 seconds, 2 minutes into it, you would feel like what it's like in Arizona, which you can get used to. But when you go to Florida, no, Florida, it will just overwhelm you. Like when you just overheat, you're drenched.
But that's good though. Like the zero humidity.
Oh, it's great.
I prefer that. See, like the other day I'm going for my walk at like midnight, right? And I'm in New York and it's 90% humidity at midnight. I'm like, the hell? It was 80 degrees, so now it feels like it's like 100.
Yeah, no, the humidity is brutal. It's brutal in Atlanta. It's brutal. I mean, anytime you see when they're like, oh, Gerrit Cole, Rodon, they're dealing with the heat at Yankee Stadium, 90 degrees in New York is just unbearable. And I went to Yankee Stadium for an event before, and we went and meet. And I went and stood on the concourse. I didn't even watch the baseball game. And mind you, I'm a diehard Yankees fan. Refuse. And Alex says, Gary pays $750 on Five Guys on a monthly basis. No, there was one time, and I've explained this on our podcast before, but I took my wife's side of the family to, they were like, where should we eat? And we were thinking Panda Express, so maybe we can go to Culver's. And we have a ton of options here in Arizona, a ton of chains, maybe even Chick-fil-A. It wasn't a Sunday. Perfect time to take them. And they go, what about Five Guys? And I was like, oh, that sounds actually really good. I love Five Guys. And sure enough, we go in there and we pay for everybody. Let me tell you guys something. If you guys pay for a group larger than eight people, I paid like $340 for 15 people to eat cheeseburgers at Five Guys. So unless Five Guys will be sponsoring this podcast anytime soon, that'll probably be the absolute last time that ever occurs. And Christopher, welcome back, Giancarlo.
I gave up fast food pretty much, so.
Did you? I wish I could say the same. I just showed up from fast food. Thank you, Christopher, for the 227. Says a stands moment sounds hilariously iconic. What?
A stands moment. I don't, you know, I try, but I.
You're going to have to explain that one in the live chat. You don't have to super to explain it, but you can drop it in the live. We'll see it. And Jordan Richard with the two says, I need Volpe traded for his walk-up song alone. Oh, okay. He has one of the worst walk-up songs of all time.
I agree. That's a Hall of Fame.
Was it Fetty Wap?
I'm just, when he does bad, I'll just call him Trap Queen. How about that?
Yeah. And we're going to give him credit. I don't want this to be just a you know, where we're just going to, Stan Sports Bar.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, Christopher. So that's making some sense. But I will tell you guys, Anthony Volpe wasn't all bad today. He was just really bad with the glove. But when you hit a ball 452 feet, if he raked, but he was a bad defender, we would find a way to justify it. Not every player can be good at everything, but he's here to be a glove, and he leads the league in errors with 15. So it is something at least to cover, and we've done that.
Yeah, so
we finally caught up on the Supers.
We caught up on the Supers. Let's wrap up the show. They got another game tomorrow. They actually play another game after that. This is a four-game set, y'all. So tomorrow, game six.
Who's pitching?
For them. It's Zach Littell taking on Will Warren. Littell is a home run derby, like a human home run derby pitcher. just not Jazz Chisholm's. 26 home runs he's given up this year.
Okay.
That I
so mean, in theory, the way we play our game,
obscene.
It's not going to be fighting fire with fire. His weakness is our strength. If we're going to score runs, we're leaving the yard. We don't have Aaron Judge. Obviously, that's not helping. But Will Warren, again, pitching at home should be better. He's just not good on the road. No. I expect him to be good enough. And of course, unless we're making a move, and even if we did make a move right this second, that reliever's probably not walking in the building as early as tomorrow. So we just got to hold our breath. It's going to look like today. It's going to look like Jonathan Loaisiga getting double play balls, smoked to Volpe after two errors. It's going to look like that type of win tomorrow if we win the game. So let's just pray that the Yankees can go out and score 14, hit a bunch of home runs, commit to who they are offensively, where the bullpen is just not a factor until Brian Cashman can do something for us.
Yeah, and then Jazz Chisholm makes his return to Miami this weekend. So you have, you know, Wednesday, Will Warren's on the hill. Tomorrow, Will Warren's on the hill against Zach Littell. Thursday, sorry, Gary, it's a 105 start.
Are they doing that because of the trade deadline?
That's probably why. Stroman. Oh, it's Stroman and your favorite. The guy randomly saw this dude's jersey when I was in spring training.
Wait, what team? What team?
It's Tampa.
My favorite player? Is he a pitcher or a position player?
It's just, you used to laugh at his name. He's a pitcher. He's on the Rays. Part of a big trade at one point.
Nope.
Ryan Pepiot.
Oh, yeah.
I sent you no context. There was a guy who was sitting in front of me. We had decent seats at the spring training game. Mind you, they're playing against the Tigers, and lo and behold, you see a guy right in front of us who's rocking a Ryan Pepiot jersey. I don't know. That'd be good for you, bro, but I don't know. Pepiot has also given up 20-plus home runs, so the Yankees should win the next two games if they're, you know, if they play their brand of baseball. Stroman hasn't been horrendous, and so, you know, if he could... Actually, at that point, they should have a bullpen arm based on the report. They should have
it's
a bullpen
arm.
It's
not very long, because I know you said there's a ton of time. There's still technically a lot of time. There
well, no,
is.
I said there was a ton of time when there was a ton of time. Now.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair.
Time is ticking, now, there's Gary. Just
now there's just today and tomorrow to send the party invites out.
That'd be so funny if you just every single, it's just a bit. You just, oh, yeah, you said there was a ton of time. No, it's literally in 12 hours. Well, that's what you said.
It is true, because you're talking about tomorrow or the next day, or we're screwed. Because I'll tell you what, if we don't make a big move, when people say they want, because they'll say, how do you not think the way I think about the Yankees? And they're just freaking out in our comments. Well, I'll tell you what, the Yankees don't make big time trade. This team, as weak as the American League is, you cannot get through any postseason run. I don't care what the teams look like. We wouldn't have beaten Kansas City and Cleveland last year if our bullpen looked like this. Even as weak as those teams were.
Yeah.
Class A was dismal, horrible. He was bad before our series. He was horrible. Kansas City wasn't a threat. We wouldn't have beat that Kansas City team with our bullpen today. I don't care what the offense looks like. You're going to have to pitch your way in October baseball to get through.
You are.
And the only way the Yankees are doing that is by buying heavy in their bullpen. So let's just pray to God the Yankees go out and slug the next 2 days where bullpen's not a problem. And then if that happens, Brian Cashman pulls the trigger, obviously preferably on Duran. Duran's the player we want. You go get a Duran. Maybe you get a Cabrera for your rotation. You flex somebody out of your rotation into the bullpen for a Michael King-esque role. They're not going to be Michael King, but they're built up as a starter. They can give you 2, 3, even 4 innings to preserve your bullpen the rest of the way. I think this is the best way for the Yankees to go about it. We're going to see what Brian does, but don't take my word for it. I'm not the GM. Let Brian do what he does, and when he executes a trade, join here at Yankees Unloaded. We will cover that. And Jake, what do you want them to drop in the comment section?
Oh, real quick. The Miami series, sure. By the way.
Okay.
Rodon, Schlittler, asterisks there, because we don't know how that's going to go if he makes it through the trade line. And then Sunday, if all else, everything goes according to plan, it sure sounds like everything's looking good. Luis Gil will make his season debut on Sunday against Edward Cabrera, unless the Yankees get Edward Cabrera.
I'm going to make the prediction that Cam Schlittler won't make his next start. I think someone we trade for is going to make that start.
Okay. So Edward Cabrera is going to go against Miami on August 2nd.
That's right. Or it does a no-hitter. First no-hitter of all time pitching against your former team in your first start ever.
And he throws the slider 50% of the pitches.
Yeah. Very good.
Where'd this come from? No. He learns how to throw a complete... He ends up turning into Lizardo, and they just find, he just starts throwing, the fork ball
ghost
out of nowhere.
Ghost fork, yeah. Ghost fork.
Where the hell is this coming from? Yeah.
So what do we want them to drop in the comments? Obviously, everyone wants Duran. They don't want to give up but two nickels for him. We don't want to give up a ton of prospects either. But to get Duran, you're going to have to give up a ton. And sometimes that's the best move. It's the right thing to do. And the people that are going to be trading, the teams that are involved on Duran, are going to be teams that need a major addition to their bullpen. It's just a matter of if the Yankees are going to be that team or not. They're not going to have the highest rated bullpen, or I guess we should say farm system here. So, yeah, I'm not too high on the Helsley thing. I'm not too high on a couple of those other pickups as well. I think the Yankees got to go big or go home, and this time for the big fish. So, yeah, what do we want them to drop? Oh, by the way, I do see Christian in there. It says Jake dropped the Discord after the live. We will drop that in there, Jake. I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah,
make
I'll
sure
do that
you
now.
Guys join our Discord. It's not Twitter. It's not going to be where people just listen to the majority and the opinion, and then they just say the same opinion in their own words to be cherished and praised by others. That's Twitter. Our Discord is a place we want you guys to go say your own perspectives, just like our live chat. There's no bad opinion. There's nothing wrong with having your own thoughts. You don't need to conform to what other people are doing. It's a real baseball conversation. So we hope you guys join that. Jake, I saw you just drop that in there. We will pin that as soon as our live's over, or obviously now. But thank you guys, obviously, for joining us. We had over 500, almost 600 people in here. And of course, as I said before, we are giving away a jersey at 10,000 subscribers. So make sure you guys do that and hit the bell to be notified. We cannot wait for a trade to be made. Cannot wait.
Yes. So, of course, keep it here on this channel for that news and everything. In the comments section, aside from Duran, let's focus on starting pitching. Who would you rather have between Cease, Edward Cabrera, and Zach Gallen? Drop it in the comments below.
And like the video.
Do that. Yeah.